This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. What a Game 7 last night from St. Louis. Blues beat the Stars 2-1. This one went kind of the way I thought it would. I was asked by some people on Twitter and during the course of the day, you know, who do you like in Game 7? I said, I think the Blues are the better team, but I think Bishop is the better goaltender and he could steal it. And he came darn close. You feel bad for Ben Bishop. Now, he's had his moments, went to a Stanley Cup final in 2015, shutting out the Rangers in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final, if you remember, beating him in Game 5 at Madison Square Garden. So he's had his moments for sure. He seems to rise to the occasion, and he faced 54 shots in this double overtime game to the Stars 30. It was just unreal how well the Blues played in this game, and it would have been a walkover blowout. I mean, if it was a fight, they would have stopped it. But the Blues just could not get anything going against Ben Bishop. Zuccarello's goal tied the game at one after Dunn scored against Bishop 13:30 in, and then that would be it until Pat Maroon, the St. Louis Blues resident, scores 5:50 into the second overtime to win it for the Blues. But just spectacular, the amount of saves, the quality saves that he was forced to make. The Blues, 10 shots on goal in the first period, 18 in the second period. So Bishop was 18 for 18 in the second period, 13 in the third period, 11 in the first overtime, and then he would give up the game-winning goal on the second shot of overtime number two. But here's what's disturbing, okay? The Blues, Dallas ended up out shooting the Blues 13-10 the first period, game scoreless. The game is tied at one. In the second period, the Stars were outshot 18-1. In the third period, the Stars were outshot 13-3. So Ben Bishop is standing on his head. He was the singular reason that the Dallas Stars almost went to the conference final. So I think they have to be pretty happy with themselves as far as the kind of season that they had. I don't know how many real expectations there were in. This was a year in which Ben and Sagan were called out by ownership. There wasn't a general feeling that this was a Stanley Cup championship team. Then they started to play great in the second half of the season. The acquisition of Zuccarello was supposed to solidify things. It ended up doing that, but it didn't get going until the postseason. I thought Zuc was tremendous in this second round series against the Blues. And I guess the only team that's disappointed along with the Dallas Stars in the National Hockey League are the New York Rangers, because they could have gotten a first round pick. That second round conditional pick would have become a first round pick if the Stars won last night and made it to the conference final, but they came up short. So we'll see what Zuc does in free agency and how the Stars handle things during the course of the offseason. But I thought they were exceptionally well coached by Montgomery. I thought he had a defensive style. I thought the Stars survived being a little bit top heavy, but when Radulov came, and I thought he played great in the regular season, showed some skill in the postseason as well. I think the Stars have to be very, very happy with their performance and what they were able to accomplish so far this season. I know it's a disappointment, but you beat the Nashville Predators, who had won the division, and then you go toe-to-toe with the St. Louis Blues, who were the hottest team in the regular season in the second half of the year. They were the worst team in the NHL on January 2nd. It's really a tremendous story. And Craig Berube will get some consideration for the Jack Adams Trophy, although people have to realize that the votes were in before the playoffs started. So the fact that he was able to win a couple of rounds here doesn't matter for him. But the Blues finally looks like they got their goaltender in Bennington. Inexperienced, but so what? The Blues are so offensively talented that they don't spend a lot of time in the defensive zone, so that really helps Bennington for sure. But what a credit to the St. Louis Blues. They go to the conference final, and they do it by being the worst team in the National Hockey League on January 2nd. If you thought on January 2nd this team would be in the conference final, it would be a little bit surprising. So they sit and they wait for tonight's Sharks and Avalanche Game 7. So we've seen three Game 7s go to overtime of the five, which is a first time ever. We've seen the home team be fairly consistent. Carolina did win on the road in Washington in their Game 7 in the first round of the playoffs, but the home team has been able to keep serve, and we'll see what the San Jose Sharks can do tonight. Sharks win. They go to the conference final, take on the Blues. This will be a rematch of the 2016 Western Conference Final, in which the Sharks won and went to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time in franchise history. Avalanche trying to get back there in the first time in forever. They were consistently there in the late 90s and the early 2000s, and now this is another generation of Avalanche, but you know what? They're still led by Joe Sakic, who was a major part of those championship teams in 96 and 2001. So we'll see. The home team, I think, has a distinct advantage, but the Avalanche have shown that they can handle this. They're skilled players. Landeskog has been hot. Rantanen, and of course, you know about McKinnon. Comper had a great game six to force the game seven, scoring a couple of goals. Wouldn't be surprised if this sucker went overtime as well. So that's going to be a 9 o'clock start. So make sure you take a nap, drink some coffee, because that might be a late one. Would not be surprised if you're going to be deep into Thursday by the time this game comes to an end. But just a terrific job. These playoffs have been just terrific. So now you got the St. Louis Blues in the conference finals. So the Stars, a wild card team out. Already the Columbus Blue Jackets, a wild card team out. The Avalanche could exit as a wild card team. So with all the upsets, we still may see some real quality teams that were expected to go far. The Blues, I think, going into the playoffs were expected to maybe make a bit of a run, and they have. The Sharks, people have been on their bandwagon since the acquisition of Erik Karlsson during the offseason, so they have a chance to do that. But you still could get that Avalanche-Hurricanes final, which would be a big surprise, too. So you sprinkled in some upsets, and I think that's always fun, but you also have some established teams that were also looked upon as the favorites. And, of course, the Boston Bruins may be the favorite. So you could have a Blues Stanley Cup final appearance for the first time since 1972. The Sharks could try to win their first Stanley Cup ever. Bruins are trying to go to the Stanley Cup final for the first time since 2013, trying to win it for the first time since 2011, and Carolina trying to win it for the first time since 2006. Also, one note, McAvoy has been suspended for game one tomorrow against the Carolina Hurricanes. That's when the Eastern Conference final is going to start. That'll start tomorrow from Boston. So, no Charlie McAvoy in this one. And let's face it, McAvoy dodged a bullet by not getting thrown out of the game for his hit in game six. Only got a 2-minute minor. And I think when you looked at his face, he realized he got away with it. But he's not going to get away with it by playing game one. And that's a big loss because he lugs a lot of ice time. He's a very skilled offensive player. So that's going to hurt the Bruins a little bit as they lose him for game one against Carolina. And then we'll find out the schedule the rest of the way for the Western Conference final once that's all getting completed tonight. But should be a lot of fun. All right, let's hear from you. At Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct. Jack says, hey, Don, hope all is well. Could you give some insight into how Jacob Slavin has been seen around the league? As a Canes fan from Asheville, we get to see his defensive brilliance consistently. But how does the league see Slavin? They look at Slavin is an outstanding defenseman. I mean, if you've been into the National Hockey League, and I've called a lot of Hurricanes games with the Rangers, he stands out to me. He was always looked upon as, I think, pound for pound, their best defenseman. And then, of course, he gets the help because in comes Hamilton to be able to help on that blue line. But Slavin is respected around the league. I think his story has great. He is somebody who's a Christian who's found God as a major source for him during the course of this run. He's a great kid, great player. So I can't tell you how respected he is by everybody around the National Hockey League, but I know preparing for Hurricanes games, Slavin is somebody that I really find is somebody that can be a force. And when I'm calling games and watching games, I just see him constantly with the puck, constantly having an impact. So I think he is very, very well respected. Casey Brown says, can the Sharks win a series without a game seven? It's a great question. And it also begs the question of how is this going to affect the Sharks, even if they win the game tonight? Now they're going to go up against a Blues team that was forced to go to game seven as well. But this is an older team, as we've talked about before. Games begin to pile up. And, you know, maybe they go to the conference final and go to seven. And they might end up having to play 28 games, the maximum, if they're going to win the Stanley Cup. But it looks like they won't get any kind of a break. I guess we would probably start Friday or Saturday for the Western Conference final. I haven't gotten word yet, but I would think maybe Friday. So it'll kind of depend on how things go from there going against St. Louis. But, hey, listen, they've got older players, but the fact is that they could get Pavelski back, which I think is going to be important for them. And you hate to think of it this way because he was so injured and hasn't been able to play, but he's been able to condition himself. He's been able to work on the bike from a cardio standpoint. So He's been able to rest up and heal up his injury, and now maybe he will have some legs that a lot of other players on the San Jose Sharks won't have. So maybe that'll actually work to the advantage, because Pavelski is pound for pound their best player, I think, on the team, at least from the forward standpoint. So maybe the little bit of rest he's had not closing out the series against Colorado can certainly help the Sharks. But guess what? The Sharks have to win tonight too. But they always seem to end up having to go the distance. It's crazy. Christopher says, hey, Don, you could not have asked for a better ending to a Game 7. Maroon, the hometown kid, gets the game winner in front of his family, especially his son, who idolized his dad. Believe he took a pay cut so that he could play closer to home, moments like these. You know, Patrick Maroon is a very interesting story. I mean, he was a guy, you know, that was in Edmonton, just didn't seem to be a fit there. Devils ended up trading for him. Didn't work out there long term. As you said, he decides to go back to his hometown, and what an impact he's had in the postseason. And that's, we've talked about this so many times. We could talk about the Stars, Tarasenko, who was not very good, by the way, in that series against Dallas. Only one even strength point for Tarasenko. Jaden Schwartz, who was outstanding in these playoffs, a little bit better against Winnipeg than he was against Dallas. But sometimes it's the Maroons that get it done, right? Sometimes it's the Corrales in Boston. Sometimes it's the unknown guys that you don't really think of that end up having a huge impact. You have to be well-rounded if you're going to make a run in the playoffs. You have to be able to roll four lines. You have to have players that you can trust to be on the ice in key situations, especially with all these games going to overtime. Fresh legs are going to be so important. And if a coach can look at his bench and trust literally everybody that's on that bench, that team's got an excellent chance to make a run. Chris says, hi, Don. Last night I saw the unprofessional Marchand interview referred to yesterday. Although his behavior is inexcusable, do you think his on- and off-ice antics give him the villain label, resulting in some people watching and wanting to see the Bruins lose? Is it good for the league? Sure. You need to have villains. You have heroes. You have villains. Okay? And the league has always had the Esa Tikkanens and the Claude Lemieux and the Sean Averys, the guys that instigate to get under your skin. But also, he does have a tendency to take things too far. And what expense attention? I mean, do I need the NHL to get mentioned on SportsCenter because there's a guy getting licked in the face, or a stick being broken and getting stomped on, or an interview in which he literally says just 10 words? I mean, come on. I think he plays his game. I think he plays his game well, but that doesn't mean that he's above criticism and that you can't be a little bit annoyed with the way he seems to conduct himself. Matt says, hey, Don, congrats to the Blues. All of these late night overtime games are destroying my sleep schedule. Love playoff hockey. Matt, you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm dozing off driving to work every day. Between having the Twins and then staying up late watching these games, it's been killing me, but it's been worth it because it's been so much fun. Get ready. I think you got a late one tonight. It's a 9 o'clock start. So even if the game ends in regulation, you're probably looking at a game going close to 12. And I have a feeling we're going to be going deep into that, because I wouldn't be surprised if I have a very, very late night and that game's going into overtime. Christopher says, hey, Don, what's the phrase that you use, have a kit coming, mean? I've never heard that before. It's kick coming, and it just means that you really can't complain is what it means. Meaning, like, I always brought it up with the Vegas Golden Knights and the fact that, yes, they maybe did get jobbed on the 5-minute major and allowing the Sharks to score those four goals and take the lead. But you don't have a kick coming, meaning, well, you had a 3-1 series lead and you tied the game after you blew the 3-0 lead and you went to overtime where you could have won it, meaning you really can't complain. You had your opportunities. Now, where does that phrase come from? I have no idea, but that's always how I've used it, and I think that's the way that it should work. Wayne Jones says, what do you know of Pavel Datsyuk's return to Detroit? And then he also says, I'm so proud of the Blues' achievement. Who would they have a better chance against? I lean towards Colorado. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, this Colorado team is very eerily similar to the Hurricanes. You know, looking at it from the Islanders' glasses, if you remember, I thought they'd have a better chance against Carolina than Washington. Now, obviously, I think I was wrong. I think they would have a much better chance against Washington than getting swept by Carolina. Be careful what you wish for. This Hurricanes team's on a bit of a mission. I do look at Martin Jones as being a little up and down in goal. Sometimes he's absolutely terrific, and then we saw him lose those three straight games against Vegas. I'll be careful what you wish for. But back to your Pavel Datsyuk, we're hearing word that he may return to the National Hockey League. I think it would be great I have not heard exactly when or if that's going to happen, but there has been speculation that he will leave his KHL team and come back to the National Hockey League. Steve says, "Hey Don, prior to Columbus, can you think of any other team going for it so aggressively at the deadline? And can you remember any team that is definitely working for where they couldn't have won without those moves?" Well, you look back, it's hard to say the 94 Rangers were in this category because they're on their way to winning the President's Trophy anyway. But look at the moves that they made at the deadline to win the cup and how those guys really helped, you know, the Noonans and the Matos. They made a bunch of deals at the deadline and all those guys end up contributing. So I would think of it there, although they might have been able to win without those moves, but the guys that they did bring over at the trading deadline in 94 all seemed to contribute. So that would be an area. It doesn't happen that often because you usually don't get a situation like you get with Columbus, where so many guys are free agents. And I think you had a perfect storm of major free agents on a team that had never accomplished anything. I still believe that it had been Boston or Chicago that had those free agents. I think they would have traded them because they would have wanted to get something back. And even if it came at making a run, they had won cups before. They were established hockey teams. So that might have been the better move hockey-wise. But you had the combination with Columbus where they had never been out of the first round of franchise history. They're trying to build a fan base. So they were willing to take that risk. So it's so rare to be able to have guys that you can get something for but decide to hold on to them at risk of losing them because you could see the value in a run. And Columbus saw the value in a run. And they came darn close to getting that championship run just came up short in the second round. Jennifer says, "I have come to the assumption that Panarin ends up with the Rangers. Does the potential of Davidson going there as well make that more or less likely?" I don't think it affects it. I don't. We were hearing rumors about Panarin going to the Rangers, going back to the Blackhawks. Seems like he wants to go either to an established National Hockey League team, meaning an Original Six team. There's also rumors he wants to go down to Florida. He's comfortable there. So, Jennifer, I'm not sure that John Davidson is going to be a factor. I think he wanted to be a Ranger anyway. I don't think he projected out that John Davidson was going to leave to become a Ranger. So I don't think it's a factor. But Panarin seems to narrow down his choices. We're hearing, you know, Maple Leafs, Blackhawks, Rangers, Panthers. It's a very slim number of teams, but the Rangers are certainly one of those teams, and I'm not really sure John Davidson has anything to do with it. All right, we've got a Game 7 tonight. We'll have a Game 1 to preview as well in the Eastern Conference Final tomorrow. You want to get in touch with me, the easy way to do that is at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. Love the participation. We're having so much fun. These games have been terrific. Thanks for joining us. Back with you again tomorrow. This was the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York. And worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast on the ESPN app, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.